Well, another day, another dollar here in post-apocalyptic America. And some people in the crypto market seem to think this is like 2020. And somehow we didn't just live through 2 years of a pandemic and runaway government spending and unprecedented job losses, unprecedented change in the way people work, right? People working from home and demanding that at least part of their time every year be allowed to be remote work. Many companies are allowing that. Some companies are pushing back. But the pandemic has changed much. It's changed so much. And crypto markets have just endured their worst pullback since I've been in crypto. Nearly 10 weeks of losses for Bitcoin. 10 weeks of charts in the red. It's unprecedented. Hasn't happened before. And the other day, there was pretty much a social media attack on crypto. The last few days, it's just been overwhelming negativity. All these influencers talking about how Bitcoin is a scam. And yet nothing about Bitcoin has changed. It's not a scam. And it wasn't a scam before these people started calling it one. But just overwhelming sudden negativity in concert with a massive drop in the price, which was the result. This is the credible allegation of goofy Larry Fink, inheritor of his money, Larry Fink, trying to harm Bitcoin. That only works so many times. People believe in Bitcoin. We're not going away. And someone on TikTok thanked me for a video I did pointing out some of the positives in the marketplace lately. You know, that Chipotle now takes cryptocurrency as a form of payment. The Swiss watchmaker, Tag, my favorite watch company. Swiss watchmaker now takes Bitcoin and Ether. Right on their homepage, there's a bar at the bottom that says, you know, we now take leading cryptocurrencies. What else? As of last year, we have 3 ETFs operating in the United States, 3 SEC-approved ETFs, one on the New York Stock Exchange, one on the NASDAQ, and one in Chicago. So you got not just an ETF, but options between the ETFs, right? You got choice. And back in the day, the SEC approving a Bitcoin ETF, not, you know, much less 3 of them, would have been a total pipe dream realized, would have been better than the best case scenario. You have some of the wealthiest people in the world, like Elon Musk, continue to be very bullish on crypto and lend it a lot of support in the public eye. You have tech visionary Jack Dorsey, the former CEO of Twitter, also the CEO and chairman of Square, the popular payment company. You've probably seen Square's card readers and their tablet payment system. If you ever go to like hip coffee shops or, you know, hip thrift stores and stuff, it seems like a lot of younger businesses are big on Square. A lot of cool restaurants in DC use their payment system. Anyway, he renamed his whole company, this famous company Square, which is a PayPal competitor. He renames it to Block. It's now named Block Incorporated because he believes so much in the blockchain and so much in advancing Bitcoin usage that he renamed his whole freaking company. And then you have PayPal itself, which last year began allowing people to buy some major cryptos on their site, you know, through PayPal. But now you can actually, or soon, they announced they're going to allow PayPal users to send the cryptocurrencies to each other. Because before, PayPal's thing was kind of limited. You could buy it and store it, but you couldn't actually send it to another user. So they're opening that up. It's going to become true peer-to-peer money. And I just don't see how this stuff doesn't succeed. Not financial advice, not guidance. But after having our heads beaten in for the last nearly 10 weeks with market losses, I just don't see how Bitcoin doesn't succeed, and possibly Ethereum too. We are living through the highest inflation ever in American history. Highest gains in the inflation rate ever. Basically an emergency action from the Fed the other day to increase the interest rate in the hopes of stopping this drain from the banks. Right? When you offer no interest, people don't keep their deposit in the bank. They withdraw it and they put it somewhere else where they feel it might work harder for them. And so you look at all these bullish indicators, not to mention just the sheer number of users and the crypto space has exploded. This NFT stuff, the media, just as the media was against crypto years ago because it took away a rich man's game. It used to be only super rich people could launch a central bank and launch their own currency monopoly. And then the blockchain comes along, and this super smart gentleman, Satoshi Nakamoto, nearly 13 years ago, comes along and writes the Bitcoin white paper and releases the open source code for Bitcoin and essentially creates his own decentralized central bank, right? It's a peer-to-peer central bank is basically what Bitcoin is, where the bulk of the supply is held by normal users. It's not held by some, you know, notional bank that's created by a handful of elites as a means of monopolizing the currency. It's a currency that's truly peer-to-peer. Every single Bitcoin has been mined, and you can look it up on the blockchain and prove that it's been mined. Prove that it wasn't just invented out of thin air. You know, you can look at the hash and all the other stuff that crypto experts know about. So, true breakthrough, it was doing great. The last, you know, 2021, it was doing great. Then out of nowhere, Larry Fink pulls down his pants, takes a big goofy dump on our precious crypto, and out come all these social media hacks to say, crypto's over, it's a big scam, it's a big scam. Okay, now do fiat. Now do the Federal Reserve Bank, which is just a currency monopoly, not even a proper federal agency, doesn't have proper oversight. Trump in his 4 years, the great truther Trump, he never got around to auditing the Fed, which for every truther is a huge, you know, part of our wish list. Never got around to auditing the Fed, is anti-WikiLeaks, is anti-Julian Assange, is anti-cannabis, and is anti-cryptocurrency. The three, you know, legs of the freedom movement, WikiLeaks, crypto, and cognitive freedom, having access to cannabis, if not other things, cannabis at a minimum. These are the issues of our age, and Trump is on the wrong side of all of them. And so I only trot out a little bit of my Trump derangement syndrome here, my latent TDS flaring up. I only bring that up because some people try to loop Trump into crypto, like, oh, he'll come around to it, Seaman. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to support populist stuff. He just doesn't know. No, we're not playing that game anymore. Trump's out. He had 4 years as president, and then 2 years after that of complaining and being mostly profoundly unimpressive and erratic, and he's simply out. His, you know, aggressive marketing of the mRNA shots and his complete lack of interest in cryptocurrency and complete lack of interest in cannabis freedom or modernizing drug policy. He's simply out. He's simply not what the truth community needs. He leaves me completely cold. And I won't be party to this lame framing of Trump, right, where they frame him as something way better than he actually is. I call it the beauty and the beast. And Alex Jones is the one who seems to have pioneered this. Right? He starts screaming and yelling on his show and throwing, you know, documents up in the air, holding printouts. We need to get this information to Trump. We need to get this printout to Trumpty Dumpty and to his soulmate, Mike Lindell, at MyPillow headquarters. We need to get this info out to Trump and then he'll do something. No, Trump's one of them. He's either one of the dumbest people on the planet, or he's literally one of them. And this Beauty and the Beast thing is garbage. If only we could turn the beast's heart. If only he could see that we're trying to do a good thing with crypto. Nah, Trump's a boomer. He doesn't get it. He's either rigged or too dumb to understand crypto. It doesn't mean crypto's no good. It means Trump's no good. So, again, this was like a coordinated attack on us. Larry Fink dumps out, and then all these media outlets say crypto's over. And at the same time, some very convincing social media influencers on Twitter and TikTok crawl out of the woodwork, and they say, oh, it's over. Get rid of your crypto now while you can. It's going to zero. I've been hearing a lot of that. It's going to zero. Just the same repeats of previous attacks that failed. People who are saying it was going to zero below $5,000 a coin, they never apologized. They're still booked on TV shows. Guys like Peter Schiff never apologized for being massively wrong about cryptocurrency and are still booked on TV to bet against our table, to bet against our roulette table, to go on TV and do his best to kill the energy. But crypto doesn't need energy. It's provably rare. It's the only thing in our world that's actually rare. So stock, they can always issue new shares and they do frequently, you know, stock splits and whatnot. They can always create new shares. Gold is not truly capped. You can always dig deeper and find more gold. And of course, there's tons of it in our solar system. You go out to the Kuiper Belt, you got trillions of dollars in gold floating around. And you could send a probe out there eventually and have it, you know, push it back toward Earth. Put it in low Earth orbit and have some clown like Peter Schiff go up there and mine it. Mine the gold off of it. So gold isn't even rare. It's a natural byproduct of star creation throughout the universe. So not particularly rare. And it has no payment network built up. Look at the last few years of 150 million, maybe 200 million people now have a crypto wallet, either an Ethereum or Bitcoin wallet or one of the other cryptos. That's a lot of people. That's a huge user base of people who just have currency and are willing to spend it on stuff. If you own a lot of gold, it doesn't mean you're like tapped into some payment network. You're not going to go online and pay with your gold. The guys like Peter Schiff spent so much time and energy trying to cave in crypto and trying to tell the rest of us we're so wrong that they never strengthened the gold community. It's not a community at all, in fact. It's a bunch of super old ultra boomers. Not even boomers, people a generation older than boomers. Sitting there with their pile of gold, hoping the world goes to hell, so they'll have money and nobody else will. And in their short-sightedness and greediness, they don't see that this beautiful thing, the cryptocurrency economy, has emerged and is not going away. You got Fidelity, which manages trillions of dollars in assets, one of the biggest investment firms in the world. And they're pushing very hard for the government to allow them to add Bitcoin as a 401k option for various employers' retirement plans later this year. So everybody wants it, and people who are against it will be swept away by the tidal wave of global interest. As you think about it, it takes effort to do what Larry Fink did. You can't just dump out on Bitcoin every day. And these social media influencers, okay, so you say it's a scam and it's going to zero. That's kind of shocking the first time it pops up in your feed. And then after you see these people are just shills, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Once you see that, then it kind of cools off and you go, hey, these attacks on crypto are really just scared people who don't own enough. They either don't own enough or don't own any. And the NFT stuff, as I was saying the other day, although there are scams in the NFT world, NFT is yet another innovation that blockchain currencies make possible. So the establishment is scared because everyday people are starting to make a lot of money in some cases. And they don't like that. They like to keep all the money to the handful of families that have always been rich. So they don't like all the art business that's migrating from Christie's and Sotheby's over to the blockchain. They just don't like it. People searching on OpenSea and other NFT marketplaces. And so I was an art history minor in college. And what gives a piece of art its value is the originality, both originality and demand and recognition, right? So a Van Gogh, like let's look at Starry Night, famous Van Gogh painting. What is a duplicate of that worth? A high resolution copy on a piece of printer paper, or let's say a nice piece of canvas, framed, all the rest, right? Looks great, but it's a fake, it's a duplicate. What is a known duplicate of Starry Night worth? Maybe 10 bucks, you know, pretty much whatever your printing costs were, and then a little bit above and beyond if you can turn a profit. So we'll say 10 or 20 bucks, maybe 30 bucks at most. Not millions of dollars because it's a duplicate. Nobody wants the duplicate. Everybody wants the original. And so that's the real value of art, is that there was a guy named Van Gogh who created a painting called Starry Night, and there's only one of them. And he created it at a certain point in time and a certain point in space. And you can never go back and contract Van Gogh to make another Starry Night. For one thing, he's dead, and for another thing, you can't go back in time. Right? So it's actually that preservation of the moment in time and its provable rarity, its originality, that makes it so valuable. So the NFT thing, just like cryptocurrency, outsmarted central banking families. NFTs outsmart the entire art industry. Because you can upload something that's totally original. If you're a great artist living today, like Banksy or something, not that I really like Banksy, just, you know, he's got a big following. I think he's overrated. But let's say Banksy does some original drawing and then uploads it as an NFT. The originality is then preserved. Anybody can go on the blockchain and see that, oh, okay, it's a real Banksy. Oh, there's only so many that will ever exist. It's part of a, you know, a set collection that only has so many Banksys in it. It's a true breakthrough, and there will be scams, and there will be setbacks, and there will be negative press. But at the end of the day, NFT marketplaces are a total internet breakthrough, no different from the development of internet or the launch of services like eBay back in the day. Remember how disruptive online auctions were? Now you can have an online art world that's not only open to elites who are millionaires. You can start with as little as a dollar, even less than a dollar, depending on which art you're buying. You can start with only a dollar, only $10. And some of these things appreciate in value. Art is a function of human activity. It's a function of human psychology. And so you get millions of people browsing these art marketplaces. Someone might see the NFT collection that you've built up and go, hey, I like this particular picture you've bought. Can I buy it from you? And that's exactly what's happening, is there's all these resales that happen where someone else buys it and then someone else buys it. And that's exactly what happens to the art world. So it's just the digitization, just the digitalization and modernization of something elites have been doing for a long time, which is selling art to each other. And now the average internet user can do it. So, of course, that's going to upset some of these creepy crawlers who are used to being the only ones with money. It's almost like they haven't acknowledged yet that there's millions of people with crypto who therefore have economic power. So, again, they can't have Larry Fink dump out on crypto every day. It's quite a losing proposition long term to strategically dump out on stuff. He can't attack Bitcoin every day. This was the big one. These media influencers, they can't say anything worse than it's going to zero. It's pretty much as insulting as it gets, especially when there's such a favorable crypto bill running through Congress right now. To say it's going to zero is just total QAnon garbage. Not even. I don't think even the QAnon people say that crypto's going to zero. Just total demented garbage to try to scare people away from something that, according to the late John McAfee, is the first major invention in 150 years that has not been created by a huge corporation or bank or immediately co-opted by a huge corporation, bank, or government. They're trying to. They're obviously trying to slow it down and damage it and take the good ones for themselves. But there are too many of us who are awake. That dump out was shameful. Larry Fink has none of my respect. Guys like Peter Schiff, who've devoted their whole lives to money, to understanding money, and yet they missed out on the whole crypto run-up from $0 to more than $3 trillion in the market at its height. Well, he missed out on a huge growth period. If he believes in fucking gold so much, he could have been in Bitcoin and bought more gold than he knows what to do with at its height. Same with his phobia about stocks. Okay, so you're against stocks and against America. Well, in that Trump rally, those Trump rally years, you could have conceivably made a fortune from good companies. If you're such a genius, you knew that things were coming to an end, you could have sold Peter Schiff. And again, if gold's your thing, you would have more gold than anybody. But instead, you're some clown selling gold to boomers, so you make a commission, when they could just go to a site like APMEX, you know, American Precious Metals Exchange, APMEX.com, not a sponsor, just a good site. They could go there and buy all the gold and silver they want. They don't need you, Peter Schiff. So that's why they booked that asshole to dent in crypto all the time, is he doesn't really serve a purpose anymore. He and the central banks are kind of out there in the wind looking at crypto and hoping it goes to zero, hoping for some deus ex machina moment where, you know, just gift from God, gift from the heavens, crypto is outlawed. But that day's not coming. You got several U.S. senators who own cryptocurrency, several U.S. senators who are pro-Bitcoin and not letting it go because they want the mining revenue and all those jobs in their states. So that's it, folks. Those are my views on the NFT stuff. About 4 days from now is NFT NYC. If you're going up there, have a good time. And be sure to check out the Fulcrum News NFT while you're up there. And that's it, everybody. Link to our NFT will be in the description. But more important than ours is just the concept that this is not a scam. This is another massive use case for crypto, another massive use case for the blockchain. First came decentralized money, and now comes decentralized art marketplaces. They're both important. Thank you guys so much.
You're listening to Fulcrum News, real news from America and around the world. Fulcrumnews.com/subscribe to get our premium membership and updates via email.